that every one of you who's present here and every single person who's going to join us today and in the coming days, and the millions of people around the world who have gathered tonight to remember Karbala, to remember this tragedy, I want to say this to you, that you are the luckiest people on the face of this earth. But do you feel lucky to be sitting here remembering Imam al-Hussein? It happens sometimes that a person is really lucky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him a great blessing. He's sitting on a treasure, but he doesn't feel lucky. He doesn't feel the greatness of that blessing. Why? For two reasons. One, because he's not paying attention to this blessing. He's not looking at what he has. And the second reason is because he doesn't know how it feels to not have this blessing. How it feels to not have this blessing. So tonight, which is the first night of Muharram, let us try to feel lucky, feel honored, feel blessed to have come here and sitting here and remembering Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. But in order to appreciate this blessing, we need to know who Hussein is. In order to appreciate the value of these gatherings, brothers and sisters, don't underestimate these gatherings. You're coming here, you're sitting here. You have no idea what it means for you to have come here and sat here in these gatherings. You have no idea. You have no idea in the spiritual realm what your coming here means. Do you want to know? Let me give you a glimpse of what it means to be sitting here. When the news of martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was given by the Holy Prophet to Bibi Fatima salamullah alayha, when this news was given, Bibi Fatima started crying. Why? Not because only Imam al-Hussein was her son. No, the relationship between Bibi Fatima and Imam Hussein alayhi salam goes deeper than that. She cried for Imam al-Hussein. Now look what the Holy Prophet tells Bibi Fatima in consolation. He says, Ya Fatima, kullu aynin baqiya yawm al-qiyama illa aynin bakat lil Hussein. All the eyes will be crying on the day of judgment except for the eye that cried for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in this world. You have no idea how lucky you are. But really, we need to understand how great this tragedy was. Really need to think what happened in these 10 days of Muharram and this whole revolution of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Let us ask our fourth Imam, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Let us ask, how great was this tragedy? And you have all heard this. These are sentences from the famous Ziyarat Ashura. Musibatan ma a'zama. Then the Imam says, wa a'zama raziyataha fil Islam. It's the greatest calamity that has befallen the Muslim Ummah. Then the Imam stops and says, wait, it's more than this. وَأَعْظَمَ رَزِيَّتَهَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It's the greatest tragedy that has happened from the beginning of mankind till its end in the heavens and in the earth. This is the tragedy that we want to talk about, that we want to remember these days. But beyond this tragedy, in the batin of this tragedy, is beauty. And inshallah, in these 10 days that we are together, we would try to pierce through the zahir of Karbala, which is full of grief and pain, and we'll try to reach the batin and the hidden beauty of Karbala. How do we know the batin of Karbala is beautiful? Let us ask Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha. You ask her, how did she find Karbala? What was the reality of Karbala? What was her reply? Ma ra'aytu illa jameela. I only see beauty in the battlefield of Karbala. So the first thing that we all need to do in this first night is to really, really feel honored and lucky to be here. And in addition to that, really, really feel for those people who are not able to make it to these gatherings. And if it's possible for us, if we know someone around us, a friend of ours, someone whom we know, who because of a certain reason, not a very valid excuse, is not able to make it to these gatherings, I need to go and tell him that you're missing something. It's very important. Come once and you'll see the effect of these gatherings. So this month that we have just entered is a very special month. And the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam would spend it in a specific manner. Our eighth Imam, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam. Describes the state of his father, Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Let me read parts of the actual narration for you. Kana abi idha dakhala shahru muharram la yura dhahikan. When this month would enter, no one would see my father smiling. وَكَانَتِ الْكَابَةُ تَغْلُبُ عَلَيْهِ. Grief would overtake him naturally. It's not that he's trying to feel the state of grief. No, it's natural. If someone knows who Hussein was, it's natural for him to feel grief. And then the Imam continues and says that as the days would pass and the Imam would near the day of Ashura, the state would increase and it would reach its peak on the day of Ashura, which is the day of grief for the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. So dear brothers and sisters, these 10 days, especially these 10 days, there are certain adab and etiquettes that we should try to acquire as much as it is possible for us. So what are these etiquettes that we need to acquire, especially for these 10 days? So one of the etiquettes which alhamdulillah all of us have acquired is wearing these black clothes. It's a symbol. It's signifying something. Even when you go out to work at your business place, wear these black clothes. It's a symbol, it's a sign. Let people ask you, what's wrong that you're wearing these black clothes, and open a discussion with this person about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. It's a good chance to tell other people about this great man. The second of the etiquettes to be observed during these months and days of grief is to try as much as possible to avoid a lot of laughter and activities that mean a lot of fun. In different aspects of our life, when it comes to our food, let us try to have simple, regular food, not something lavish, not something which would not suit this tragedy and the difficulty which Imam al-Hussein went through. And I say this especially to my younger brothers and sisters, that I know it might be slightly difficult for you, because I have been with my younger brothers here. And I know that generally the environment amongst the youth and the children is there's a lot of laughing, joking, although let me say this, sometimes it goes out of the bounds. It's generally good to be happy and talking and laughing, except for these 10 days. For these 10 days, let us try to maintain a bit of that serious mood for ourselves, not for anyone. Not to show anyone that I am in grief and in a state of pain. No, for myself. I need to ponder. I need to think about myself. I need a bit of serious time to ponder about so many things that happened in these days. Very, very important things. Please recite a salawat. So indeed, we are honored to be sitting here and remembering this great man called Hussein. But every blessing requires shukr. As the verse of the Holy Quran says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That if I give you a blessing, and if you do shukr for it, if you use it in the right manner, if you use it for your benefit, I'm going to increase that blessing. In fact, some of the Mufassireen have said that pay attention to this verse. It doesn't say I'm going to increase the blessing. It says لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. I'm going to increase you. I'm going to give you a higher spiritual station. So the question that I want to pose in front of all of you here today is, how do we do shukr of blessing of Hussein alayhi salam? How we want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us this blessing. And again, I cannot explain what it means to not have these blessings. We don't know what people go through when they don't know Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. It's difficult to imagine. We have got this blessing for free. From our childhood we were brought in these gatherings, in these majalis. So we may not truly appreciate the importance of this blessing. Let me rephrase my question and ask, is it sufficient that I come and attend these gatherings, I remember Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, I shed a few tears in his remembrance, and then I go back to my normal life? Is this sufficient? Will it be sufficient as shukr for this blessing? The answer is no. This is the first step that you have taken towards Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. This is, my brothers and sisters, beginning of a journey. Coming to these majalis is not the end. It's the first step that you have taken towards Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam can really, really take you a lot higher. So therefore, this is the topic that I'm going to speak about in these 10 odd nights that I have in front of you, between you. So the question I want to pose, and inshallah in the coming nights we'll try to answer this question, is what does Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam want from me today? You may think it's a very strange question. What does Imam al-Hussein want from me today? But inshallah, you may think it's a very strange question. The most relevant and the most important question that we need to answer for ourselves. So my question has three parts to it. And inshallah, in our discussion, we'll be discussing about these three different things. The first part of my question is Imam al-Hussein himself. Who is Hussein? Do we really, really know who Hussein is? So one of the things that we'll be trying to do is to understand Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. The second part of my question is, what is Imam al-Hussein's relationship with me? Who am I? What is my reality? What am I doing in this world here? What does Imam Hussein mean for me? What does he want to tell me today? So our discussion is going to be very personal discussion. It's about each one of us. And remember, when we have this discussion, forget others completely. Don't think about others. Because usually this is a danger that we face, that when something good is said to us, we immediately, our mind goes to other people. We say, oh, this person is not doing this good deed. My brother, my sister, leave others. I need to think about my own self. That what I need, how can I benefit from Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam today? And the third and the last part of my question is, what Imam Hussein wants from me today. So I'm not here to tell you history. I'm not here to narrate to you events that happened in past which may not have any relevance to me today. No. I want to only talk about those things that are relevant to us today. So the discussion, inshallah, we are going to have is going to be a very relevant discussion. That in today's world, the modern world as we call it, that raises a wide range of challenges in front of us, especially for our youth, especially for the parents that are going to train these young children. What does Imam al-Hussein want from me today? One answer to this question is that Imam al-Hussein wants nothing from me. If you ask, what does Imam al-Hussein want from me for himself, the answer is, he doesn't want anything from me for himself. But at the same time, he wants a lot of the things from me for myself. You may be surprised that how does it happen? Normally what happens is that when a person comes to you and he asks you for a favor, for something, he comes and says, I need some money, can you help me? Usually he wants that thing for himself. He's in need of money, he comes to you, he tells you, look, I need money, can you help me please? I need to use it to fulfill one of my needs. But when it comes to the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, they want a lot of things from us. It's not that they don't want anything from us. But none of those things which they want from us is for their own selves. Why do I say that? Let me recite a few verses of the Holy Quran to prove my point. And inshallah, we'll continue our discussion in the coming days. Please recite aloud salawat. All of you have heard this famous discussion and verse about Ajrur Risala. The famous verse that is recited, that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, took all those efforts to deliver the message of Islam to the people of that time, the Ashab, they felt that we should give the Holy Prophet some ajr from our side. something to appreciate the efforts he has taken for us. So they go to the Holy Prophet and they say that we have come here very respectfully to ask you that what can we give you as the ajr of the risalat. So in reply to this question, usually this verse of the Holy Quran is recited. Kul la as'alukum alayhi ajran illa al-mawaddata fil qurba. The Holy Prophet says, I don't need any ajr. But I need one thing from you. And what is that one thing? I need mawaddat of my Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So this is the verse that all of you have heard. But in the Holy Quran, when it discusses the question of Ajrul Risala, there are four different types of verses that talk about this topic. So if we just look at this verse, again the question remains that okay, the Holy Prophet wants something. He wants the ajr of his risala, and that ajr is love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. The question still remains, why? Does he need us to love the Ahlul Bayt? Is it his need that if I love the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, he's going to become really happy? And a need of his will be fulfilled? What does this verse mean? And why should I love Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? What it is going to give to me? So let me quickly mention these four verses of the Quran which complete this discussion, and inshallah it will open the way forward for us in the coming days. So the first set of verses of the Quran, and this verse, similar theme, is repeated 10 times in the Holy Quran from the words of different prophets. And these verses, they say that when the prophets were asked by the people that what ajr do you require for your risala, what would be their answer? Kul, sorry, wa ya qawmi. Prophet Nuh, addressing his people, says, la as'alukum alayhi malan in ajriya illa Allah. I don't need money from you. In fact, I don't need any compensation from you. In ajriya illa Allah. My reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the same thing holds true for the Holy Prophet. We cannot compensate the Holy Prophet for the efforts he took. He did not take those efforts for me and you. He did it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His reward lies with Allah. In ajriya illa Allah. So you have these one set of verses of the Quran that clearly tell that look, the divine messengers do not need anything from you. No material benefit they expect. Okay. The next set of verses of the Quran. Kul ma sa'altukum min ajrin fahuwa lakum. Yes, I don't need anything for myself. But in exchange for the efforts I took for you, I'm going to ask you for something for your own self. So this is from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So now it all makes sense. That the reward which the Holy Prophet is asking us, mawaddata fil qurba huwa lakum, it's for you. It's for you to benefit from these great personalities, the Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam. It's for your own good. There's nothing I need from you. And the last verse that I want to mention today, and it will answer this question, that why have we been asked to love the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? What does it mean for us? What does Hussein want from me? Yes, I love Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And this love has brought me here tonight. And is going to bring me on these successive nights. Not only me and you, I told you, millions and millions of people without any material incentive and benefit, just for the sake of their love for Imam al-Hussein, leave everything and they come. So this verse of the Holy Quran is going to answer this question. Why have I come here? What does Imam Hussein want from me? Pay careful attention. Qul ma as'alukum alayhi min ajr illa man sha'a an yattakhidha ila rabbihi sabila. Why do I ask you to love the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam? Because it is through these Ahlul Bayt that you're going to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone wants to take a path in his life towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come to Hussein. This is the way through which you can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam wants from us, wants from me. He wants us to embark on a journey with him, a journey of tawheed, a journey of experiencing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our day-to-day lives, finding a trace of him. To maqsad Hussain tawheed hai. Hussain chahte hai hum sab ka haath pakad kar hume khuda tak pahunchaye, taaki khuda ki haqeeqat ko hum isi duniya mein dark kar sake, samajh sake. Jis tarah se khud Imam Hussain alaihi salam ne Karbala ke maidan mein tawheed ka muzahira kiya. देखिए करबला का जो वाकया है उसके दो रुख है, दो पहलू है, दो डायमेंशंस है. एक उसका जाहिर है और करबला का जाहिर मुसीबत है. करबला का जाहिर कर्ब और बला है. करबला का जाहिर तलवारों का चलना है. करबला का जाहिर इन चांद जैसे हस्तियों का घोड़ों से गिरना है. करबला का जाहिर गिरिया है, लेकिन अजीजों करबला का बातिन तौहीद है. अगर कोई करबला के बातिन में झांक कर देखे तो उसे तौहीद नजर आएगा. और इंशाल्लाह इसी मौजू पर कल मैं अपनी गुफ्तगू को कंटिन्यू करेंगे कि आए हम इस जाहिर से आगे बढ़कर आए करबला के अंदर तौहीद का मुजाहिरा देखें. दो इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम हमारे सामने हैं. एक इमाम हुसैन जो करबला में हम देखते हैं और एक इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम है जो अरफात के मैदान में यौम अरफा दुआए अरफा की तिलावत कर रहे हैं. क्या फर्क है इन दोनों हुसैन में? इन दोनों हुसैन में कोई फर्क नहीं. वही चीज जो हुसैन अरफा के दिन जबान से इजहार कर रहे हैं वही चीज करबला के मैदान में आकर अमल में दिखा रहे हैं. और वही चीज जो हम करबला के मैदान में अमल में देख रहे हैं वही चीज इमाम हुसैन अरफा के दिन खुदावंद मुताल की बारगाह में इजहार कर रहे हैं. क्या फरमाते हैं? माज़ा वजदा मन फकदक. उसने पाया ही क्या जिसने तुझे खो दिया. व मल्लदी फकदक मन वजदक. और उसने खोया ही क्या जिसने तुझे पा लिया. यही करबला की हकीकत है. चंद जुमले मसाइब के और आपकी जहमत तमाम. अज़ादारों आज इस गम के महीने की पहली रात है. ये काफिला जो मदीने से चला मुख्तलिफ मनाजिल तय करते हुए करबला तक पहुंचने ही वाला है. تاریخ کے مطابق 2 محرم کو یہ قافلہ کربلا میں پہنچا. آپ تصور کریں کہ آج کی یہ جو رات ہے یہ قافلہ کربلا سے بالکل نزدیک تاریکی میں بیابان میں رکا ہوا ہے. اس قافلے کی کیفیت کو تصور کرنے کی کوشش کریں. بی بی زینب سلام اللہ علیہا کے دل کی کیفیت کو تصور کرنے کی کوشش کہ بی بی زینب کے دل پر کیا گزر رہی ہوگی, کیا سوچ رہی ہوگی بی بی. شاید کبھی اپنے بھیا حسین کے بارے میں سوچ, شاید ماں فاطمہ کی وصیت یاد آ رہی ہوگی, کیونکہ تمام جو حوادث واقع ہونے والے تھے بی بی زینب کو اس کی اطلاع تھی. شاید یہ سوچ رہی ہوگی کہ میرے کہ حسین کے بعد ان چھوٹے چھوٹے بچوں کا کون خیال رکھے گا, ان کی ذمہ داری میرے اوپر ہے. کہ حسین کے بعد عباس کے بعد ان بچوں کا کون خیال رکھے گا. ہاں زادارو, یہ وہی راتیں ہیں کہ اپنے جذبات کو احساسات کو کھلا چھوڑ دے, روکیے نہیں, کسی سے نہ شرمائے, اپنے اندر جو غم کا سمندر ہے اسے آزاد چھوڑ دے, اپنے آپ کو کنٹرول نہ کرے. فَعَلَى الْعَطَائِبِ مِنْ أَحْلِ بَيْتِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِيٍّ فَلْيَبْكِ الْبَاقُونَ. دعائے ندبہ کی یہ جملے کہ اگر ان پاک ہستیوں پر انسان گریہ نہ کرے تو پھر کن پر گریہ کرے. فَعَلَى عَطَائِبِ مِنْ أَحْلِ بَيْتِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِيٍ فَلْيَبْكِ الْبَاقُونَ فَلْيَنْدُ مِنْ نَادِبُونَ وَلْيَذِجُ الزَّاجُونَ. انسان دھاڑے مار مار کر گریہ کرے, اپنی خلوتوں میں بیٹھ کر سوچے اَيْن الْحَسَن کہ کیا ہوا حسن کے ساتھ, اَيْن الْحُسَيْن کیوں ہوا یہ سب حسین کے ساتھ, کیا ہوا حسین کے ساتھ, اَيْن أَبْنَاءُ الْحُسَيْنِ اولاد حسین کے ساتھ کیا کیا گیا. اجرکم علی اللہ. امام حسین علیہ السلام پر گریے کا سلسلہ کافی پہلے سے شروع ہو چکا. پہلے عزادار امام حسین علیہ السلام کے حضرت آدم ہے کہ معتبر تاریخ کی روایت کے مطابق تمام انبیاء کو اس واقعے کی خبر دی گئی. تمام انبیاء کے درمیان امام حسین علیہ السلام کا ایک بلند مقام ہے کہ انشاءاللہ اس پر میں اس کی اور وضاحت کروں. انبیاء کے بعد عزاداران حسین میں آخری رسول حضرت محمد مصطفیٰ ہے کہ جب امام حسین علیہ السلام کی ولادت ہوئی, یہ واقعہ شیخ صدوق نے اپنی کتاب میں لکھا ہے, جیسے ہی رسول اللہ کو خبر ملی کہ حسین کی ولادت ہوئی ہے فوراً بی بی فاطمہ سلام اللہ علیہا کے گھر پر پہنچ گئے, اسما سے کہا کہ اسما جاؤ اس بچے کو میرے پاس لے کر آ جاؤ. یہ خوبصورت سا بچہ سفید کپڑے میں لپٹا ہوا امام رسول اللہ کی خدمت میں لایا گیا. رسول اللہ نے اس بچے کو آگوش میں لیا, اذان و اقامت پڑھی, اس بچے کو اپنی گود میں رکھا. جیسے ہی نظر حسین کے چہرے پر پڑی آنکھوں سے آنسو جاری ہو گئے, آنکھوں سے آنسو جاری ہو گئے. اسما نے تعجب کیا, کہا کہ یا رسول اللہ کیا وجہ ہے آپ گریہ کر رہے ہیں, یہ تو خوشی کا موقع ہے, ابھی ابھی حسین کی ولادت ہوئی. رسول اللہ نے جواب دیا کہ ہاں میں اسی حسین کی مظلومیت کو دیکھ کر گریہ کر رہا ہوں, میں وہ دن دیکھ رہا ہوں کہ کربلا کے میدان میں بھوکا اور پیاسا حسین کو شہید کر دیا جائے. پھر اس کے بعد رسول اللہ نے ایک بڑا دردناک جملہ اسما سے کہا, کہا کہ اسما اس چیز کی خبر فاطمہ کو نہ ہونے دینا, اس بات کی خبر فاطمہ کو نہ ہونے دینا, ابھی ابھی بچے کی ولادت ہوئی ہے, میں نہیں چاہتا ہوں کہ فاطمہ کا دل غم سے بھر جائے. میں کہوں گا یا رسول اللہ اتنا خیال ہے اپنے بیٹی فاطمہ کا، ہاں آپ کی وفات کے بعد وہ جلتا ہوا دروازہ، ہائے وہ محسن کی شہادت. آزادارو، بس دو جملے مصائب کے. حسین کی مصیبت مدینہ سے شروع ہو گئی. کیا ہے حسین کی مصیبت؟ کہ حسین جیسے پاک انسان کو یزید جیسا فاسق انسان بیعت کی دعوت دیتا. کیا اس سے بڑی کوئی مصیبت ہے کہ ولید امام حسین علیہ السلام کو دربار میں طلب کرتا ہے اور کہتا ہے یزید کا حکم آیا ہے کہ ابھی اسی وقت یزید کی بیعت کر لو. دیکھیں آئے پہچانے حسین کون ہے. حسین نے کیا جواب دیا؟ حسین کا جواب سنیں. حسین نے کہا وَإِنَّا أَهْلَ بَيْتِ النُّبُوَّةِ وَمَعْدِنِ الرِّسَالَةِ وَمُخْتَلَفِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. تم جانتے ہو ہم کون ہیں؟ ہم اہل بیت کا خاندان ہیں، ہم اہل بیت رسول ہیں، ملائکہ ہمارے یہاں رفت و آمد کرتے ہیں. اور یزید کون ہے؟ یزید رجل فاسق شارب الخمر قاتل النفس المحرمہ. یزید کون ہے؟ ہم کون ہے؟ پھر ایک تاریخی جملہ امام حسین نے فرمایا، کہا مثلی لا یبایع مثلا، کہ مجھ جیسا انسان جس نے فاطمہ کے آگوش میں تربیت پائی ہے یزید جیسے پست انسان کی کبھی بیعت نہیں کر سکتا. امام حسین لوٹ کر آ گئے، لوٹ کر آ گئے، لیکن اب اس بات کا یقین ہو چکا تھا کہ اب مدینہ رہنے لائق نہیں رہا ہے. عباس کو کہہ دیا کہ عباس سامان سفر تیار کرو، ہمیں مدینہ سے نکلنا ہوگا. ہاں، اور پھر چلے گئے اپنے جد کی قبر پر خدا حافظ کرنے کے لیے. اپنے نانا کی قبر پر پہنچے، رسول اللہ کی قبر پر پہنچتے ہیں، اپنے رخساروں کو رسول کی قبر پر رکھتے ہیں اور شکوا کرنا شروع کرتے ہیں کہ یا جدہ، یا رسول اللہ، دیکھیں کیا وقت آ گیا ہے، آپ کے شہر میں آپ کو نواسے، آپ کے نواسے کو رہنے کی اجازت نہیں ہے. رسول اللہ سے خدا حافظ کیا، پھر گئے ماں فاطمہ کی قبر پر، فاطمہ سے درد دل کیا، لوٹ کر واپس آ گئے. ہاں آزادارو، سامان سفر تیار ہو چکا ہے، سب تیار ہے، اونٹوں کو لایا گیا. ہاں اب تصور کریں اس منظر کو کہ خود امام حسین بڑے احترام سے بی بیوں کو سوار کرا رہے ہیں، محملوں میں بٹھا رہے ہیں. بڑے احترام سے کبھی بی بی زینب کو سوار کیا جاتا ہے، کبھی دوسرے بیویوں کو سوار کیا جاتا ہے. ہاں کتنا احترام ہے، تمام محرم ساتھ میں ہے. لیکن آزادارو تصور کیجئے، 11 محرم کا دن ہوگا، اونٹوں کو لایا جائے گا، بیویوں کو سوار کرنے کا وقت آئے گا. ہاں لیکن سوار کرانے کے لیے نہ حسین موجود ہے نہ عباس ہے. سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. بار الہ ہمارے اس قلیل سی عبادت کو قبول فرما. بار الہ ہمارے تمام گناہان کبیرہ اور صغیرہ کو معاف فرما. بار الہ ہمیں مقصد حسین کو روز بروز بہتر سمجھنے کی اور اس پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. بار الہ علماء اعلام مراجع تقلید کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پر برقرار رکھ. بار الہ جہاں جہاں پر مومنین ہیں، پریشان حال ہیں، مریض ہیں، جن کا دل بہت چاہتا تھا کہ ان مجالس میں شریک ہو لیکن کسی مجبوری کی وجہ سے شریک نہیں ہو سکتے، بار الہ تمام مومنین کی تمام مشکلات کو برطرف فرما. بار الہ ہمارے زمانے کے امام کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم. ماتم حسین.